Support for NPR comes from Focus Features, presenting Burn After Reading, the new spy comedy directed by Joel and Ethan Coen, starring George Clooney and Brad Pitt, in theaters everywhere now.
Good morning, this is EM 580 News. I'm Michael Kaliskia. The families of two newborns who died after they were inadvertently given massive dose of heparin at Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis have sued the hospital and one of the makers of the blood thinner. The error occurred in part because of a mix-up over labeling that has since been changed. Two of three newborns died in September 2006. The suit was filed this week in Marion Superior Court against Methodist in Deerfield, Illinois, Baxter-based Baxter Healthcare. A University of Illinois agronomist says the cloudy skies and heavy rain expected through the state through early next week could stall the development of corn and soybean crops. Agronomist Emerson Neftinger says that without sunshine at this time of the year, the fields are like an engine without gas. The U.S. government is reducing its national forecast for this year's corn and soybean harvest due to drier weather. For Illinois, the agricultural department is leaving expectations unchanged. A vote on Monday may mean dramatic changes for two Champaign elementary schools. A committee of Unit 4 officials and plaintiffs in the district's consent decree has come up with a plan to add new classroom space to the Garden Hills and Washington school districts. For Garden Hills, it would mean a new wing. For Washington, it may mean a brand new building. Nathaniel Banks was on the committee and will vote on the recommendation as a board member. He says it strikes a balance.
We try to keep in mind that the traditional African-American community was taken into consideration. So that was one of the driving thoughts. The other driving thought was that it wasn't supposed to just be seats, but that there needed to be high-quality program that would go in those schools and serve those students.
It's possible that two schools would become magnet schools. Their recommendation comes out as Unit 4 and other districts begin a campaign for a county sales tax increase to fund capital projects, moving some of the burden away from the property taxes. And after nearly 25 years aloft, the RCA domes in an Indianapolis roof will soon be coming down. Officials announced yesterday that September 24th has been set as a date for when the 16 large fans that keep the roof inflated will be turned off. The roof will be cut in pieces and sold as memorabilia. This is AM 580 News.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Hurricane Ike is continuing to pound Texas. It's packing winds up to 110 miles an hour and is as big as Texas itself. Rain's coming down so hard, emergency crews have been unable to mount rescues or assess damage. Officials say they expect to find widespread devastation when the storm passes. NPR's Ari Shapiro is on the job in Houston. Ari, what are you seeing?
Looking out my window here in the skyscraper in downtown Houston, there is, you know, I'm from Oregon where we have big waterfalls, and there's this 30 or more story building right out the window from me, which has what looks like an enormous waterfall cascading down the side of it because the rains have just been pounding into the side of this 30-story building and shooting down the side of it into this park that has become a lake. And it's been like this since about 3:30 in the morning our time, and it doesn't look like it's going to let up, you know, at least not within the next few hours.
What can you tell about the extent of the damage there in Houston, the nation's fourth largest city?
People really don't know the extent of the damage yet. We're hearing from energy companies that 3 million people, the entire city almost, could be without power. Where we are in downtown Houston is very lucky. It's one of the only parts of the city that has power because the lines here are underground. The worst damage is expected to be in Galveston. And at a briefing earlier this morning, somebody from the Galveston County Police Department, this is where the storm first came ashore, said they're really not going to know what the damage is like until later in the day. Here's what he said.
Primarily what we've been dealing with overnight is taking care of ourselves and making sure that our officers are safe. Post-storm, what we're going to be looking at are protection of life and property and making sure that areas are safe for people to get into, as well as coordinating with other law enforcement agencies and other emergency management groups.
And the same thing is true here in Houston. Somebody from the mayor's office just said they had 1,250 911 calls in the last day. That's 60% higher than average. And he said, if your home has been damaged and it's unlivable, don't call 911 because we won't be able to get to you. He said, take shelter with your neighbors.
Ari, after that really astonishing warning yesterday that said this bluntly, get out or you'll die. I know you were in Galveston yesterday. Why did so many people choose to stay?
You know, some said, it's my first hurricane, there's no way I'm leaving. Others said, I've got a 3-story house, it can't flood me out. Others